Good morning. We are going to be in Mark 9 today, so you can turn there. How are you? How's your heart? How is your heart? That's great. I was thinking right before I came up that there's always this kind of cycle going on in me. And the cycle kind of looks like this. It's what's going on in my heart that has to do with the idol of Glenn, and what's going on in my heart that has to do with the cross of Jesus. There's this thing going on inside of me, it goes on inside of you, that is a thing that's fighting, tension that's going on. What's the idol of you, whether that's just see me out of pride or it's insecurity in you that you know is alive. Let's call it today, let's call that humanity. Can we just, let's just put a label on that. We'll call it humanity versus the cross of Jesus, which offers us an alternative to humanity, which is pretty cool, pretty special. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that. And also, in the first service, and it's still resonating with me, before I came up, I was thinking how amazing it is that we serve a Lord who sees it all. So if you're jacked up with humanity today, can we just agree that we serve a God who's so precious, so good, He doesn't come with a sledgehammer and just knock us out. And He has a right to do that. But that's not what He does. That's not what He does. Instead, what He does is he presents Himself, shows Himself to us, inviting us to bring that humanity to Him. And so I love the fact that His mercies are new every morning. That's what Scripture teaches us, right? They're new every morning. So whether you come in here and you're a woohoo, or ooh, you know what? It doesn't really matter, because you can still allow the Spirit of God to do that work in you, to take a look at your humanity, to take a look at what it is, to take a look at how it's trying to live, and bring that to a solution. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at humanity in these disciples. We're going to look at it with the understanding that their humanity is our humanity. And when it crops up, some things happen, and it's not good. And what we can do with that is amazing. And isn't that our journey? Isn't that what God calls us to, is a continual need to recognize humanity, idol of Glenn, got to bring that to the cross of Jesus. That's what we're to be about. We get to do that corporately on Sunday morning. We get to do that together in worship, which is great. Love it. But we need to be about this exercise every day. Every day. What is the idol of Glenn, and what needs to come to the cross of Jesus Christ? So we're going to be in this section of Scripture, Mark 9, starting in 30. And it's convoluted. There are some things in here that are all over the place. That at first glance, first read, you're seeing temptation, you're seeing some stuff on children, you're seeing body parts getting cut off, you're seeing something about getting thrown into hell, temptation. There's all these pieces that are here in our text this morning. And it's my prayer, and we're going to pray in just a second, it's my prayer that what we'll see is a theme, something that does so together. It's not hodgepodge. It's not all these things. It's a theme. It's humanity versus the cross. And so I want us to see that together. And my prayer is that if you're in here this morning and it's just woohoo, not woohoo, it's the other end, here's a fresh opportunity for you to take a look at humanity in you, the idol of you, and to be able to bring that to the cross. And it's going to take courage. You got to have the courage to look at yourself, to see what the humanity in you is, and then be able to do what is so cool, what God gives us, the offering that Jesus gives us, which is to bring it to Him. So let's pray, and then we're gonna dive in and do that work. Amen. Father, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I don't always understand why it is that there's this cycle that I know is real in me, that I believe is just part of humanity, that's real in my brothers and sisters in this room, and that is that we wrestle with the idol of self versus the need to bring that to the cross of Jesus. So, Father, I especially pray for those in this room that are struggling with humanity and the outflow of that. God, would you help us to see that and to bring it to you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, right before I read, this is a section that Jesus, what's going on in the gospel right about here is Jesus is beginning to hunker down with his disciples. He's beginning to work with them because he's preparing them for what's coming. He's going to the cross and they're going to be handed the commission. So, let's get into this and begin to see the humanity of these guys and measure ourselves next to it. Verse 30, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, and here's why, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant. They did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him. They were afraid to ask him about it. So we begin to get a glimpse right there of the humanity of these guys, these disciples, these apostles, as they are afraid to ask Jesus about what he's talking about. Jesus is teaching them deeper things. Jesus is wanting to show them something compelling about what's coming, about the gospel that's coming, and I believe they didn't go there for a couple of reasons. A couple of reasons that go this way. Number one, I don't think they wanted to hear about suffering. I don't think that they wanted to hear about death. I don't think that they were interested in any way, shape, or form in hearing about that. That didn't match their template of where they were going. So that's the one thing that was going on. And right behind that was this insecurity that they didn't want to be seen as not knowing. They felt like they needed to know the answer to what Jesus was talking about, but they didn't want to be exposed as inadequate. They didn't want to be exposed as not knowing. And so what we have going on with these guys in their humanity, and see if it looks similar to you, is self-absorption. Self-absorption. Okay? That self-absorption wants to grow in us. And if that happens, if self-absorption is happening in your life, okay? Just like these guys, here's what's going on. Jesus wants to show you deeper things. He wants to take you to deeper places. He has deeper growth, deeper opportunity for you. But because of your humanity, your self-absorption, you're not going to get that. Jesus wanted to teach them deeper truths. He wants to teach us deeper truths, but self-absorption blocks it. And so what Jesus had to do here is he had to postpone showing them that deeper truth. They got it eventually. Just like he has to postpone showing you and me deeper truths because we're stuck in self-absorption. And so Jesus has to wait until we're willing, underline willing, to deal with our humanity that's taken on too much form. And not until that happens are we going to be able to get to deeper truths. So, does that sound familiar to you, anybody? Does that sound familiar? That's the struggle. That's the cycle. Jesus wants to show us deeper things. Now, let me show you the heart of self-absorption in these guys. It's found in verse 33. Verse 33, so already Jesus tried to show them deeper truths. They didn't ask anything, even though they didn't understand it. So that deeper truth got abandoned. Now they're traveling, and it says 33, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, What were you arguing about on the road? Not only don't they get the deeper truth, not only are they afraid to ask, but Jesus sees them arguing after that on their travel into Capernaum. And so he says, what were you arguing about? But they kept quiet. They didn't want to talk about that either because they had argued about who was greatest. Who was greatest? Who's number one? Who do you think's the main dude here? Is it me? Is it you? I think it's me. What do you think? So they got this argument going on, and Jesus is trying to show them the cross. That gets postponed, and then they get caught up in their humanity into this discussion about, I think it's me, right? I think it's me. Let me show you my case why it should be me. Who's number one? Does that look familiar? Here's what happens in our humanity. What happens is we get into this wrestling match with a constant and exaggerated sense of our personal importance. Let me say it again. We wrestle with a constant and exaggerated sense of our self-importance. Aren't I somebody? And their struggle is our struggle. It is. It's our struggle. These guys, they believed Jesus was Messiah. They believed he was going to come and reign. They, however, thought it was going to be a kingdom reign. They thought it was going to be Israel coming back into its glory. Jesus is going to get inserted on the throne. Rome's getting kicked out, and they're going to have position. And so their relationship with Jesus, they're more concerned about position and where they're going to fit in the monarchy than anything else. I used to work in a bike shop. I wish it was a Harley shop. It was a bicycle shop. Bicycles. 1989, I'm a salesman. I did a little bit of mechanicking, could build them out of the box. And a guy comes in the store. It's a slow day. It's a midweek. It's just me and a mechanic. Guy comes in. He's got in his arm, I see it because I just read it. It was Frank Peretti's book, This Present Darkness. You know the book I'm talking about? If you're a real Christian, you've read it. But there he's got it. And I said, hey, man, how do you like that book? I just finished it. It's this crazy book about what's going on behind the scenes. You've read it, right, Gary?
I read it.
You should have if you didn't, brother. You did, though. Good. Great book. So he and I, we click, we make this connection. He's a Christian, I'm a Christian. I sell him a bike. We got to build it, so I got his info. Off he goes, and the minute he walks out of the store, the mechanic comes running up to me. Do you know who that was? And I said, yeah, the guy's name's Paul. It's right here. He said, that was Paul Scanzi. Paul Scanzi? But you know who Paul Scanzi was, is? Right? Paul Scanzi. This is the third down specialist receiver for the Seahawks. He played from about 88 to 92, and man, could he play. He'd catch that ball. I sold Paul Scanzi a bike. And so when his bike was built, a couple days later, I called him up and said, hey, Paul, this is Glenn. He's like, who? From the bike shop. Oh, yeah, what's up? I said, your bike's ready. We need you to come get it. So he comes in with his wife, and it was so cool because now it's almost like, hey, Paul Scanzi, the football player's coming. He's going to get the bike that I sold him. So he comes in. I get to meet his wife. They were just a great couple. They met at the UW. She was a cheerleader. He's a football player, true love, all that, really cool. And then I was talking to Paul before he leaves. I said, hey, we're doing a promotion, and how would you like to come up for us? We'll give you some great deals on some gear, give you some stuff, sign autographs. So he does that. He agreed to do that. That got scheduled. Paul and his wife leave. I'm just thinking, man, that was cool. 2 days later, he brings in his buddy, Kurt Warner. I sold Kurt Warner a bike. Aren't I somebody? I sell Warner a bike. He leaves, I build it, call Kurt up. I didn't say, hey, it's Glenn. I said, this is the guy from the bike shop. Anyway, I remember thinking to myself, man, not only did I get to meet Scanzi and his wife and Warner, but I sold both of them bikes. Paul came back and he did the signature thing. I had his phone in my daytimer, and right next to it in parentheses was BFF, and I'm just thinking, they're going to call me. They're going to have me come and be a part of their Bible study. I know this is going to happen. And then when I'd watch football, it was like, hey, didn't Scanzi just make a great play? And I'd say, yeah, and he's a really nice guy. Hoping they say, well, what do you mean, right? And I can show them my number. Isn't that sicko? I mean, I was the psycho fan. I was that guy. Elevated sense of somebody because I know Paul Scanzi. That's us, guys. That's us in our humanity. We tend to want to elevate who we are, what we are. We have this need inside of us for importance. We have this need to be somebody. We want other people to see that. And in our humanity, we will nurture that. See this about me? The idol of Glenn. The idol of Glenn. So we got to recognize that. And here's the thing. Here it is. Let's remember. Jesus wants to show us deeper truths about ourselves. He wants to lead us to some pretty amazing truths. And when we get caught up in humanity like that, it gets blocked. It gets blocked. We get in the way. And Jesus has to postpone that growth until such time as he deals with us in our humanity and gets us to the point where we tap out. And we say, okay, I surrender. I surrender. Then he can take us further on. Then he can take us further on. So that's one thing we need to see in our humanity. Self-absorption. Number two is insecurity. Insecurity. And it goes kind of like this. Our insecurities manifest in ways that have the capacity to hurt other people, and we can make it look really spiritual. Super, super spiritual. Let's take a look at what these guys did. Verse 38. Verse 38, it says this. Teacher, John said, we saw a man driving out demons in your name. We told him to stop because he wasn't with us. We told him to stop. Now, at first glance, to me, that looks really spiritual. That looks like a good thing to do. I mean, it was common in that day for guys to use different deity names to try to cast out demons and do exorcisms. This particular guy does it in Jesus' name. The disciples don't know. Do you think that your leadership wouldn't convene a meeting if we heard that somebody that we don't know is performing an exorcism on whoever, you know, Bob, and that's happening, do you think we're not going to call a meeting and get together and talk about that and maybe go over and, hey, we heard that you did something with Bob, right? We would do that because, first of all, we're like Baptists. I'm not even sure if we believe in exorcism, right? I don't know. We would talk about that. We would figure that out. We would try to mine out, who is this guy? Is he gospel? Is he saved? And why is he doing a deliverance? Of course we would do that. So it looks super spiritual. But look at how John worded this. It's interesting to me. It's compelling to me. John said, we stopped him because he was not one of, what does it say? Not us. John is essentially saying, he's not with me. So we stopped him. We stopped him. Looks spiritual. Jesus says, let him go. Leave him alone. He's doing my work. These guys, instead of being able to embrace that, they saw this guy as a personal threat and a blow to their sense of importance and their position with Jesus. Because if you read earlier in chapter 9, these guys tried to cast out a demon. They tried to do an exorcism. How'd that go? Didn't go well. It didn't go well. In fact, Jesus had to come, take care of it, and he told them, hey, this kind only comes out by prayer. This only comes out by prayer. So John saw this guy as a threat to the position of where are we in this order? Where are we? This guy is seemingly having success doing this where we just failed. Stop him. That was their heart motivation in their own securities. So let's do it this way. What are your insecurities? What are they? If you can't think of any, come talk to me later. I'll let you borrow some of mine. I've got them. What are your insecurities? And in your insecurities, as you allow it to live in that humanity of who you are, if that humanity, your insecurity lives, how do you hurt other people? How do you use those insecurities to hurt other people? This is what I believe to be true about me. And we are part of the human race, so I believe it's true about you. To the degree that we lean into Jesus, that we get into his word, that we nurture relationship with him, that we spend time with him. Guys, I'm not talking about becoming monks. I'm talking about making that decision to come in and get closer to him and have relationship with him. Pray. To the degree that Glenn does that, Jesus, by his Spirit, begins to transcend into my life some things I need. Things like humility, things like peace, things like mercy, like patience. Those things start to live in me. They're not of me. They're transcendent into me by God. He softens the ground of Glenn and makes room for the presence of his Holy Spirit in me. And when that happens to me, when I'm cycling in that, when I'm there, it softens me up. And then I got more mercy for you. I've got more patience for you. I'm not trying to be prideful. I'm not trying to do something out of insecurity that hurts you. Okay? But I also know that the opposite is true. That when I lean out of him, those things, mercy, patience, peace, all those, they dry up. Parched, cracked, dry ground. And so what happens is Glenn begins to live. The idol of Glenn is growing. Pride starts to grow. And when I'm leaning in like that, what I want you to see is that I'm BFF with Paul Scanzi, and what I operate in is this tendency to elevate me over you. It's as predictable as the sun coming up. The tendency of humanity to grow when we lean out of Christ, right? That's what happens. So Jesus so honestly is showing us this wrestling match that's going on in the disciples in order to remind us that that's not a good place to be. That's not a good place to live. And the courageous Christian is one who can daily look at their humanity, bring that before the cross, and let the power of the Lord Jesus Christ change you into who he has called you to be. And to the degree that we're open to that and responsive to that, Jesus shows us deeper things. And to the degree that we're like, no. Deeper gets postponed until we tap out. Pride and insecurities are deadly, deadly toxins to the Christian life. What is that stuff that Superman can't deal with? Kryptonite. What kryptonite is to Superman, pride and insecurity is to the Christian. Just like kryptonite weakens Superman, pride and insecurities weakens us. It weakens us, and humanity grows. It's the breeding ground of how humanity grows. how that sin nature in us just takes off. And we risk, when we allow that to grow, it's like a tumor, right? It's like a sin tumor. When we let that grow, we risk becoming weak and even spiritually dead as Christians. You can love Jesus, you can believe his word, and you can be weak and dead. Jesus then points to the disciples some things that I want us to see that are crucial for us to get. Let me take a run at this in verse 42. Let's read this. It says, "And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." Isn't that crazy wording? What is that? Dismemberment, stuff being cut off, thrown into hell, fire never quenched. By the way, don't go home and be plucking out an eye. Okay? Don't do that. "I'm loaded up with guilt. I know my humanity's living." Don't cut something off. Okay, there's plenty of scripture that talks about don't mutilate. Don't do that. What Jesus is doing is he is overstating a case in order to bring a sense of urgency to this point. Go ahead, Rachel, bring it up, please. We, in our humanity, that's us. We have a tendency to minimize sin and what it can do. Not only in us, but others. We do that. We minimize, we tolerate, we make excuses for why it's okay, and we kind of do this stance where I'm not changing. I'm not moving. That's what your humanity is capable of. And so what Jesus is saying is, you get this sense of urgency. Don't minimize sin. It's bad, bad stuff. He puts the finger on our tendency to do that, minimize sin and what it can do. How do you know? I know I love God, right? I know I love the Word, and I know I'm a Christian. How do you know that your humanity's too big? How do you know that you need to get tapped out and bring that to the cross? How do you know? Let me give you just a few points that you could take a look at. Remember, in Jesus, these things of humility and all these other great fruits of the Spirit grow when I'm leaning in there. When I'm dry and parched, over here it's dry, it's cracked, and Glenn starts to live. Idol of Glenn. How about this one? Do this test, defensiveness. Because in Christ, we're less defensive. In Christ, we're more willing to look at our contribution to the issue. In Christ, we're more tolerant, more patient. We're looking for solution, not to win. In defensiveness, the idol of self, it's like, let's go. I'm not surrendering any ground. In defensiveness, we have this tendency to make it about us. We don't receive feedback. We're more likely to prove you wrong. Which one's living? How about pretend? Pretend is the idea of I show you what I think you want to see in me, as opposed to being grounded and anchored in who I am in Christ. In my basement, there is a ping pong table and a pool table. And when people come over to hang out, we'll get into games, and it usually goes something like this. Hey, you want to play ping pong? And we'll say something like, yeah, but I don't play very much, and I'm not very good. Oh, it's been a really long time since I played pool. I don't know. That's what we say, but inside we're going, man, I'm going to destroy you. That tendency to just kind of show what we think is humble when inside we just want. That's pretending. If you are living in self, then you have a tendency to show what you think people want to see rather than who God made. And who God made you to be is good, because it ain't you. How about hiding? I'm not showing you my struggle. Not showing that to you. I got this major thing going on in my life, but you're not going to see that. Our tendency to hide is amplified when we're in self. How about blaming? Blaming other people. Blaming them for the problem. Blaming their sin for what happened. Blaming as opposed to being able to own what you brought to the situation. What about exaggerating? When I'm in my flesh, man, I am going to exaggerate. I'm going to exaggerate the good, and I'm going to exaggerate the bad. What they did to me, you wouldn't believe it. Big. Any fishermen in here? It's big. I think that's kind of how you figure it out. You ask yourself honestly before the Lord, where's the idol of Glenn? Self, where am I versus surrender to the cross? Surrender to the cross is where we want to be. Surrender to the cross is where deeper truths exist. Otherwise, it's just postponement. Otherwise, it's just wait until it gets so messed up in your life that you got to tap out, and then you're in crisis, and then it's bad. Man, don't go that route. Why does Jesus show us this stuff? Why does he talk so much about our sin and our humanity? Because he's saying, don't go there. I got a better offer. I got a better offer. It's in Christ. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, so does disgrace. What did you learn in church today, Brian? Glenn told us how bad we were. Right? Is that what I'm doing? Well, sort of. Sort of. But it's because Jesus talks about that so much. Because we see that so much. And guys, that's only bad news if we stay there. It's only bad news if we stay in humanity. It's great news because we don't have to stay there. Jesus said, soften up. Come on, tenderize. Tap out. Let me show you deeper stuff. Let me bring you an element that you need from me in whatever that is that you're not capable of without me. Invitation is what Jesus' intentions are when he talks about our humanity. So when with pride comes nothing but disgrace, but that verse goes on, but with humility comes wisdom. Are you humble? Can you see this stuff in you? Can you see your humanity? Can you do that self-evaluation with God? And then can you get humble? That's the question. Because in humility has the ability to go, I can be prideful. Man, I can make it about Glenn. I can be self-absorbed. Humility has the ability to go, in my insecurities, I act like a ding-dong, right? I can be messed up, and I can make it look spiritual. Humility has the ability to say, I minimize sin when I'm in that spot. Humility simply says, that's me. Humility says, and that's why I need Jesus. That's why. Otherwise, that tumor thing just starts growing in me. Proverbs 28:13, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces finds mercy. Aren't you glad God isn't waiting for you with a hammer? He isn't going to bust you open. He isn't going to sledgehammer you. But he will wait with love. He will bring pressure, allow pressure into your life to get you to tap in order that he can lead you to better ground. Better ground. That's the God we serve. Blows me away. I love him for it, and I don't know why I tend to let humanity live, but I do. So once again, we're encouraged, come back to the cross. Come back to the cross. That's the place to be. That's where it's better. You know, Jesus is constantly in the gospel showing the cross. In chapter 8, in verse 31 of chapter 9, he's talking about the cross. This is where I'm going. I'm going to die, and it's going to be a three-day thing, and it's the cross. Followed by, it's okay, April. I get it. Followed by, follow me there. Follow me there. Follow me there. Follow me there. Follow me to the cross. Jesus himself said, pick up the cross and follow me. In fact, he says it this way, Rachel put it up in Matthew 10:38. And anyone who does not take up his cross, other places say daily, you don't get by tomorrow on what's happening now. It's daily. If you don't pick up the cross, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of me. These disciples, these apostles didn't want to follow Jesus in that moment. So deeper things got postponed. Jesus is waiting. They did get it. Some of you in this room, tap out. Tap out. You don't have to go down the destructive path. You can tap out, and Jesus will help you. He will infuse into you things that you need, but it's through the cross of Jesus. It's through his cross. You've got to pick that up and follow him. You've got to pick up the cross, whatever that is for you, and follow him. I need to do that on a regular basis, and so do you. It's our humanity. It's our struggle. We don't want to pick up the cross in part because we don't want to suffer. Sometimes it's a suffering to let humanity die. It's a bit difficult to change habits that we've gotten ourselves into, whether it's anger or habits of distraction that keep your mind numb from life, addictions. It's a sacrifice to drop them. It's a sacrifice that causes suffering for you to stop, put that to death so that something new can come from it, birth from it. And we don't like to suffer, just like those disciples. They didn't want to hear about suffering. AI, I think that's how you say his name, AI Fernando. He is the director for Youth for Christ. Here's what he wrote. Listen to this. I think one of the most serious theological blind spots in the Western church is a defective understanding of suffering. There seems to be a lot of reflection on how to avoid suffering and on what to do when we hurt. We have a lot of teaching about how to escape and therapy for suffering, but there is inadequate teaching about the theology of suffering. Christians are not taught why they should expect suffering as followers of Christ and why suffering is so important for healthy growth as a Christian. It can be a suffering thing to gain the discipline of a life that feeds into the gospel. But what's the alternative? Your humanity. Getting big, like a tumor, and being pretty ugly. If the disciples would have understood that Jesus was going to the cross as a servant to sacrifice himself for humanity, do you think they would have been more concerned about position? Do you think that they would have been all about who's next? Who's going to be right in there with Jesus? They wouldn't have been. Because servants don't care about position. They care about what? Serving. Serving. How can I serve my Savior? And when you get a really healthy, really godly grasp on who you are in your humanity, oh, it drives you to your knees. It drives you to your knees because you realize who you are and your need for something that is so beautiful in the cross. And I think whatever it is that we struggle with, whatever we've got going on, whatever our sin is, whatever our humanity is, you know, it can be a hodgepodge of different things, but it all can get traced right back to whether or not we have a Christ or a cross-shaped life. Cross-shaped life. Meaning we have a deep appreciation for how we got to go to the cross, how we need the cross, how our humanity needs the cross, how we have to let that thing die at the cross in order that Christ can live. And when we have that well in hand, then our lives tend to go better. Humility increases. All those wonderful fruits of the Spirit are ours, at our disposal, available, accessible, administered in relationships, as opposed to you and the fruit of the flesh. Oh. And then Jesus puts an exclamation point on it here at the end in verse 49 and 50. It actually starts in 48. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. What does that mean? What does that mean to be salted with fire? There's only one place in Scripture that talks about that. It's Leviticus 2:13, and here's what it says. Season your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of your God out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Offerings went to the altar to be burned. There's a sacrifice required that we will die to humanity. We will die to what is us. We will lay that thing on the altar to be burned up in order that the salt can be added into our lives, which is not just a preservative, but a flavor. I was talking to Bill Swanson, he's a potter, and he was telling me about this. He said, Google salt and fire in pottery and understand the process of how that glaze happens through heat. Jesus went to the cross. We celebrate that through the sacrament of communion once a month in order to remind ourselves of what we're talking about today. And we're going to do communion in just a moment. We're going to come to this sacrifice, but my prayer, again, is that through courageous introspection with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will allow Him to show you areas where your humanity needs to tap out. And that you will begin that journey, again, get back into Christ so that those things can grow that come from Him and His Spirit that you need. That we need. And here's the thing. If he can go to the cross, if he can be brutalized, if he can be whipped, beaten, and hang there in disgrace in place of you and me, we can lay down our humanity for him. We can serve him, and we can be changed by him.